Hello, lovies. Second video of the day. Now I'm back to my desk. I haven't done the week ahead video yet. Apologies. I could have got it done yesterday, but I had other stuff to catch up with from a week away. But anyway, you got my community post too for the day. So yay. But here's the week ahead. And this should be fairly quick if that's possible for me, because there is a video on this site for the Sagittarius new moon. I'll link to it in one of the things that this links to as well, or you can go and search for it. And also, I did a video on the Mercury retrograde that begins right after the new moon. So they're a big part of this week anyway. But I have to tell you some stuff because I do love to teach you some astrology in these things, or to teach things I'm learning about astrology even. So Mercury is stationing direct here at 8 Capricorn, and Pholus is at 7 Capricorn. Now then, Pholus has been going back and forth over my Saturn, and I'm not going to go into the details of what, but Pholus is the Pandora's box asteroid and centaur, sorry. And I've talked about it in my Substack blog. There's a link to that about how the centauric process is actually one of healing trauma in many ways. You know, I think I'm actually, the more I dive into the work I'm doing on myself and in astrology, I am going to call myself a trauma-informed astrologer as well. And really, I want to work with change makers. But anyway, Pholus on my first house, Saturn in Capricorn, is like lifting the lid off all this stuff. And so there's more to come. But please make sure you also check out the nest when I launch it on the 14th, which is my birthday. So yes, this is my birthday week as well. But anyway, the centaurs have been working me for quite some time. They are unusual creatures, and I'm going to write more about that as well when I get time. But let's move on to the week, because I promised this wouldn't be too long. So we're on Monday. I did a daily post for it, but the biggest thing is that we have the new moon tomorrow. So we're heading into the dark of the moon, and the moon is going to come up and conjunct Ceres and conjunct Mars in Sagittarius, really bringing our attention to our needs and our drive and will for Sagittarius issues. And Sagittarius is about seeking truth, wondering with an A and wondering with an O, and about wonderment and about shooting their arrows into the future. And so these are kind of going to drive that new moon. And so, you know, if you have a need to speak your truth, to be free to be you, all these kind of Sagittarius themes, to explore higher knowledge, because Sagittarius is also the seeker of knowledge. It often represents those who seek higher knowledge. Incidentally, speaking of centaurs, the Sagittarius, its symbol itself is half man, half horse. So it's about seeking this higher understanding and really trying to kind of, you know, make sense of it and kind of bring it down. But also, you know, Sagittarius is knowledgeable, jovial, optimistic, buoyant. So I like today, but it's also digging up some stuff. You know, the more I work with Ceres, the more I realize she's represents what nurtures and nourishes us, and how we nurture and nourish, but also how we fill our needs, how we feed our needs. Okay, and you're in Sagittarius on this new moon, especially if you have placements in Sagittarius. How are your needs being fed for this expansive, freedom-seeking, future-oriented energy of Sagittarius, which really, the key word for it most used is I understand for Sagittarius. So it's about seeking understanding of the bigger concepts of the zodiac. But at another level, how are you feeding your needs to actually kind of be this guru? I hate that word, but it's a good word for Sagittarius, for being the change you want to see in the world, for being enthusiastic and leading others along the way. I think at the key point of it, talking of it being associated in many ways with that half man, half horse energy, man as human, so half human, half horse, is the horse is our animalistic side, and the human part is our connection with higher knowledge and the connection with the cosmos. So anyway, so I'm not going to talk more about it because it's, you know, it's an ongoing process, this, and I could get very excited about it all. So I'm going to just move on and move into the next day. So it's actually early on Tuesday, December the 12th, that the Sagittarius moon will actually come up early and conjunct Mars. But you can see that the new moon is approaching. The moon is fast approaching the sun later in the day. These times are all Eastern, and I'm not jiggling the chart around for exact times because this energy is all day, really. So on the way to the new moon, which actually is at 6:32 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on the 12th at 20 degrees and 40 minutes of Sagittarius. Again, I did a whole podcast for that with all the symbols and things. But on the way to that, we had the conjunction with Mars. And then after that, the moon at 9:23 a.m. will come up and square Nessus, the generational abuse asteroid, centaur. So again, centaurs. I think I need to try and get Melanie Reinhart back on my podcast or just do some stuff for myself. So anyway, the moon will square Nessus, who has been really revealing, you know, kinds of all kinds of hidden generational abuse and abuses of power. And just all that murky kind of stuff. Nessus is one of the more challenging centaurs to deal with. So, you know, when this is in the dark of the moon, and the moon will square Nessus. So you could uncover some more truths, either hidden within new memories. Pisces is very often about kind of nebulous things that have kind of been hidden and kind of ignored, almost lost over. So that's kind of an interesting one as we head into the new moon. Then right after that, but pretty much at the same time, the moon will also trine another centaur, the original centaur discovered in 77, and that is Chiron, the key to healing. Now, you know, I think Chiron is too misunderstood as the wound. And I always think of that, the wound, the crack is where the light gets in for Chironic wounds, because ultimately the story of Chiron and is one of him being a medicine man and a healer. And yes, he was wounded, this wound that would not heal, and, you know, who knows how long he lived with this wound, but he ultimately gave up his life and immortality to save Prometheus, who brought the fire to the humans. So he healed his own wound, this wound that would not heal, by giving up his immortality to also heal somebody else. So Chiron is both kind of the wound and the healer. He was a medicine man. He was this higher energy of the centaurs. He was said to have had the front legs of a human, so the back legs of the horse. So he was slightly less animalistic than the other centaurs, and he was of a kind of higher energy. To be honest, though, Pholus is a bit higher energy too. But anyway, I'm kind of digressing. But anyway, we get two centauric processes right in the dark of this moon. 9:23 a.m., the square to Nessus, the trine to Chiron, is right after at 9:39 a.m. So we'll kind of bask under that energy all day, and then we come to the point right before the new moon. And the moon will square Juno. That's kind of the most exact aspect. And Juno is in the sign of Virgo, which is service, meaningful work, doing the right thing. And she was the sacred contracts asteroid. She was the wife of Jupiter or Zeus. And she was often portrayed as this, you know, figure that was kind of like the spurned wife because he was a hound dog and slept around. But the gods did weird things like that. She was the queen of the gods, and she represented women and children and marriage, everybody else's marriage, not just her own, but kind of our sacred contracts with each other. And that's how I see her. She is our sacred contracts with all people, all things, all relationships. And in Virgo, she's saying, do the right thing. Do the right thing to serve the greater good. And not by overgiving and falling into servitude, but by serving yourself first as well. But then also, as the moon comes up and squares Juno, we still haven't quite got to the new moon, the moon makes a quincunx to Uranus. And that was Prometheus. That was the Prometheus who, you know, the gods punished for bringing fire to humans by chaining him to a rock and pecking his liver out. But Chiron gave up his immortality, to die, and so that Prometheus could be healed and untied from the rock and forgiven or kind of move beyond his punishment. You know, those gods are not always nice. And I always think we have to remember that these gods were projections of humans to make sense of the world and stories. So all this punishing, all this, all the antics the gods gave up were how humans felt about our behavior. So the quincunx from the moon, and really the new moon to Uranus in Taurus, is kind of saying break free from some of those old patterns. We're breaking free from these patriarchal rules and that sky daddy god and all that kind of thing, or we're being called to at least. And then we have the new moon at 6:32 p.m., which happens to be on my solar return. Well, it's at 20 degrees and 40 minutes, and my sun is at 21 degrees, sorry. So I'm finding this very exciting, but it is a lovely, passionate new moon saying, okay, now it's really trying to live our truth, and boy, do I feel it. And then right after the new moon, the moon will trine the North Node. And then in the early hours of the next day, we'll trine Eris. So it's trining that kind of shake it up, kind of take a stand energy of the Eris North Node conjunction. Now, you know, Eris stood for those who've been marginalized and left out, but most importantly, she stood for herself who had been marginalized and left out. And she also was said to roam the battlefields and bathe in the blood after the battle. She was not in the battle, but she was said to have gloried in the blood. And it's always been my opinion that she was doing that to kind of just go, look, see how gross you humans are. You all kill each other and you don't look after each other and you don't care for each other. So anyway, the new moon is aspecting those, which is going to be interesting. Okay, so let's move on into the 13th, and my birthday is actually the 14th. But we start the morning with Mercury stationing retrograde, and Mercury will actually station retrograde at 2:09 a.m. Eastern time, while the moon is in square to Neptune and approaching, well, the moon was still in Sagittarius then. The moon squared Neptune. Mercury stationed retrograde. So this is going to be a bit of a confusing night moment. Tides turning, ideas shifting, changing perspectives, changing ideas, and perhaps shifting how you take a stand and start to speak up and take stand up for yourself. Mercury will be retrograde till January the 1st. I did a whole video about that, so you can go and watch that. But it's interesting that the Kazemi, which is on 22nd, is at zero Capricorn. So go and listen to what I said in the video about that one, because I'm enjoying this retrograde. Mercury retrogrades are not to be feared. Sure, the small stuff might happen, things happen, but overall we're supposed to slow down and regenerate and go retrospective and introspective with Mercury retrograde and rethink a few things or think about things that have come up or whatever. Okay, so after Mercury stations retrograde, Venus and Venus and Pallas Athena, I always call Pallas Athena here, Venus squared. She was like born from her father's head, emerged, and her father was Jupiter, Zeus, and she jumped out fully armed. She's the goddess of wise justice, but she has a steely eye for justice. She meets up with Venus, who is all things about relationships, values, social mores, and this is in Scorpio, in the depths of Scorpio. But not only that, these two meet in an almost exact square to Chariclo over here, Chiron's wife, more centauric processes. And this is at 10 degrees, which is a one. And this is new beginnings. And this is, I always think of Pallas Athena as looking through the looking glass, or having gone through the looking glass, or into Wonderland, seeing things from a different angle. She's a bit of a problem solver. She can pull all the pieces together. She can see all the pieces. And she is taking a good hard look into the dark about, you know, how we can really kind of solve any attachment issues and things like that have come up for a while, and where we're not basing everything on our core values. Okay, then after that, Saturn over here in Pisces will trine Vesta, but you can see this is part of a grand water trine, and we have a grand earth trine that's on the new moon. We've got this lovely Star of David this week, but it's all earth and water, so it's quite emotional. So even though we've got this Sagittarius visionary energy, it's very exciting to move forward. We've also got a lot of earth and water, so it's very somatic. It's about feeling it in your body. And boy, am I working on that one. Okay, so after that, the moon moves into Capricorn at 10:31 a.m. on the 13th. And things start to get a bit more serious, but you can start to get a bit more focused, a bit more, you know, like determined to get things done after this initial kind of wonderment of the Sagittarius moon. And then after the moon, after it moves into Capricorn, it will oppose Vesta, kind of forming a kite with this watery energy, saying, I'm determined to really focus, I'm going to say, on getting in touch with all this stuff inside my body. Something I'm working on at the moment in something I'm doing. Okay, therapy. Anyway. Is about where do I feel this in my body, and what am I feeling in my body? You know, I've got a Gemini moon, and I'm in a form. I've I have a full moon, and I've got various other parts. So it's like parts work, but also internal family systems work is the similar thing. And that's your astrology chart. My astrology chart is very in the head, and the feelings are very, very deep inside where they're not always accessible. So I'm working on that. And this is all going to help with that for all of us, but some of us more than others. Anyway, the lunar opposition to Vesta and the sextile to Saturn at the same time, and this dance anyway between Saturn in Pisces, Vesta in Cancer, Haumea in Scorpio, and then the moon over here in Capricorn is just going to say it's time to release some of those blocks to. And start to really acknowledge and get in touch with where you feel things in your body and how it feels. And just talk about it to yourself, process it, do whatever you need to get in touch with that kind of somatic energy. And that's, of course, combined with that Venus, Pallas Athena deep dive into those dark emotions that the shadows that often remain so deeply at the bottom of the ocean that it's hard to know what you're feeling. Okay, so the moon will then come up and will trine, will actually kind of really activate the Earth Grand Trine, because it will trine Jupiter, trine Hecate, trine Pat, trine Black Moon Lilith. Earth Grand Trine too, so really about getting into your body, connecting with the earth and nature, and then it will conjunct Pholus, and that's going to be interesting because it will conjunct Pholus at 11:09 in the evening, whilst in connection with this. And Pholus is Pandora's box, and I can promise you, because if you do the work, if you lean into it, and especially if you have things around 7 degrees, that this is taking the blocks off a lot of emotional intelligence and truly knowing what you feel in yourself and in your body and your connection with the earthly realm and the emotional realm. So it's a powerful time for really kind of bringing out what's been stuffed within for a long time. Capricorn is very good at kind of blocking, and Pholus has the lid on, but then once the lid's off, it's like a volcano, an underwater volcano. And then the moon will conjunct Mercury, so you're kind of thinking about this energy. So let's move on to my birthday. And my birthday, the 14th, is when I will be opening the doors to my rebranded membership community, The Nest. So watch out for that. I'm not going to say any more. You'll see it on my Substack or on my Facebook page or on the community post I post here. There's going to be a few places it's going to be out there. So into my birthday. And so the moon will come up and will actually sextile these two. So it's going to activate that deep dive into those emotions, releasing more of those blocks as we move through the day. The moon will actually sextile Nessus as well. So, you know, we've got these earth water sextiles. I always think of earth and water as very sculpting energy. But Capricorn is the kind of the most walled off one. So this is all kind of taking down the bricks of the wall. Another brick in the wall is going every day. So also on the 14th, the moon will then aspect Nessus and Chiron, so more centauric processes. These are ongoing things. I'm not going to go into more detail about it. But, you know, an awful lot is coming up about, you know, living under patriarchal kind of trauma in many multiple ways. And that could be said to be Capricorn. Capricorn isn't the patriarchy per se, it's the structures of our world, the man-made society, the rules, the hierarchies we've created and things. And that just happens to be a patriarchy right now. Okay. And then the moon will then trine Juno and trine Uranus. So another Earth grand trine of pattern breaking one, to be quite honest. All right, so into the 15th. Try and speed it up a little because I actually want to get to the grocery store too. So we have the sun. You can see the sun's moved now to 23 degrees. Mercury will come back and actually conjunct Volus for the second time. But again, I talked about that in the Mercury retrograde video. But the on the 15th, very early in the morning, the sun will actually trine the North Node. So we've got another of those fiery grand trines, and the sun, the moon, we're beginning to gain light now. We've 3 days past the new moon. That's actually why I chose my birthday to launch the nest. A, because it's my birthday, and B, because we've got the new moon and the moon's gaining light. But that's when the action will really start to happen. And, you know, the sun trine the North Node is saying, come on, it's time to live your truth. It's time to say, this is who I am. And stop all that repressed, hidden energies that we just, you know, the world puts upon us. It's time to kind of be in your brilliance. If you think of this fiery energy, it's time to say, who was that little child, that passionate little skippy child? What did that child love? Do more of that. And then meanwhile, the moon is still in Capricorn and will square the nodes. And we'll square Eris, so and then we'll conjunct Pluto before moving into Aquarius. And that will add, that's an air sign, that will add some air to these flames of fire over here, whilst we've still got this somatic energy going on with the earth and water as well. To my mind, it's quite a magically creative time, but it does involve getting in touch with some very deep stuff, getting down to your roots, okay, to find what needs to be felt and healed. Okay. And then Mars in Sagittarius will come up and activate the centaurs as well, Nessus and Chiron. So we had the moon and the sun do it, and now Mars does it. And Mars kind of like Sagittarius because fire, fiery warrior energy. But in Sagittarius, Mars in Sagittarius really is the spiritual warrior. It's saying, you know, I want to fight for what's right. It's kind of the crusader in many ways. And so crusading for some healing with those aspects to those centaurs. And then we finish the 15th with the moon will come up and square Jupiter. And this happens every month, but now Jupiter is at the station direct degree. Jupiter's going to station direct at the end of the month, December the 30th. So we're a way off yet, but he's slowing down. So even though we've got that Sagittarius go-get-em energy, we've also got that Star of David, fire and water still kind of muddy, slowing us down. Mercury is now retrograde, slowing us down, and still at the, you know, still around the days of the station, Jupiter's starting to slow down. So it's not full steam ahead yet, but it is kind of saying, I'm ready to just shine and bring out what's in deep inside and lift it up. So after the moon moves into Aquarius, we'll move now onto the 16th, and we're nearly done. Oh, can I ever do a short video? It's because I want you to know all the things. We can still see this Star of David. This is quite magical. It keeps going and going. But anyway, the two grand trines, by the way, water, earth. But Vesta's about to leave Cancer, so it'll start to break up then. But anyway, on the 16th, Saturday, next Saturday, let me ignore some of the really brief aspects or minor aspects, keep them for my Substack. But we've got the Aquarius moon. The Aquarius moon will sextile Ceres, so fire and air. The sun will trine Eris, the shit stirrer Eris again, and the moon will then square Pallas Athena and Venus over here in Scorpio, saying, in Aquarius, Aquarius is like hopes, wishes, goals. Can see the bigger picture. It's like the fly above head. It's kind of that quantum energy of pulling all the pieces together, the waves connecting the dots. The moon can take what was discovered by Venus and Pallas Athena in those shadows and start to kind of make a plan for the future as things move forward a little bit. And then, I'm not going to mention all the sextiles too detailed. Mercury is conjunct Pholus again on the 16th. So either close to the 16th or leading up to it, because it is at 6:59 a.m. Eastern, there may be some more memories, old feelings come up, or awarenesses. Remember Pandora, once the lid's open on Pandora's box, it's like, oh gosh, what times. And then Moon will square Uranus and the Sun will square Neptune. The Sun will square Neptune late at night on Saturday night. So it's a good night to watch a fantasy, to really kind of immerse yourself in magic and fun and dreamy stuff and creative stuff. I get a bit serious on these things sometimes because I'm all about personal growth and development, but sometimes we also have to have a bit of escapism. Yeah, the Sun square Neptune could also feel like a bit of having a little bit of actual kind of other kinds of escapism. But Sagittarius and Pisces really are very much about belief, faith, trust, surrender. So there's also that kind of energy of it. And it's also kind of maybe very downloady. Meanwhile, the moon late on Saturday night will square Uranus. So, you may have some big ahas in your dreams. Let's move into Sunday and then into Monday morning, and then we're done. And because I'm almost caught up with things I had to catch up with from a weekend away, next week's week ahead forecast will be earlier. Okay, this is going to happen occasionally. All right, so Sunday the 17th, we have a lot of sextiles, so I'm not going to go into all those details. I'll talk about them mostly on the Substack daily things. But we do have, the Aquarius. It will be still in Aquarius because I'm kind of late at the day. I should have done this earlier. But the Aquarius moon early on will sextile the North Node, sextile Eris. And then the moon will conjunct Hygieia. So there's more focus about calming your nervous system here with all the shakeups that are happening and all those things that are coming out of the box. And then and the sun will actually sextile Hygieia as well, as the moon is moving to the conjunction with Hygieia. But then the moon is going to move into Pisces, as you can see. And the moon moves into the sign of Pisces at 2:58 p.m. and will activate the watery grand trine. So we've still got the earth grand trine and we've still got the water grand trine. The water one That's the cups, the emotions. Fill your cups. These the emotional intelligence energy is going to be really highlighted on Sunday, next Sunday. And so will the ups and downs of emotions, because emotions can be good and can be not so good. But I do think it's back to that somatic thing that I've talked about. It's about learning to access and feel your emotions in your body. If you have, especially if you have a tendency to live in your head like I have done. So, and then into Monday morning, we're nearly done. Okay, so let's just get back to that. On Monday morning, in fact, I don't like being so late in the day. Let me put this to... Okay. So this is the start of Monday Eastern Time in the USA. So that's New York time. And early on, the Pisces moon over here will sextile Jupiter, that's slowing down, remember. And this is, again, water and earth, very somatic energy, very such an emotional week, but in your body, emotions felt in your body. And after the moon sextiles Jupiter, the moon is also going to sextile Mercury, as those two are head for a trine. So we've got the watery, nebulous Pisces moon that's so sensitive, so empathic, tuning into Jupiter in Taurus and Mercury in Capricorn, saying, whatever's coming up, how do you feel about this? Okay, it's quite a revelation to me. I've never kind of consciously tuned into the emotions in my body as much as I have recently. But anyway, that's my business again. And then let's finish with the Pisces moon square Ceres at 7:33 a.m. Ceres in Sagittarius. What feeds your needs for belief, faith and trust and surrender? And actually, one more aspect. Early on Monday, Mercury and Jupiter will actually trine each other. Retrograde Mercury, with Jupiter slowing down as well, because he's been retrograde for ages and just 12 days away from his station direct now. That's really kind of rethinking, revisiting, rejuvenating something around how you want to live by your faith and values in a big way. So that's your week ahead. It's I love this Star of David. I love this new moon. I know it's because it's my birthday and things, but I honestly love the energies. Very excited about my solar return and things like that. But really, overall, I think tuning into what you understand, know, and feel, mind, body, spirit, in your body. And it's about coming down into this emotional somatic energy in your body, rather than reaching up there for the stars. So have a good week, and I'll see you next time. Don't forget to subscribe.